to welcome this evening Father David Bloom. He is the vocation director for the Archdiocese St. Paul, Minneapolis. So he's here because he heard the weather was very nice this time of year. Somebody lied. No, he has. I think there's a vocation directors conference where a lot of vocation directors from around the country will be joining him this week here in Phoenix for a conference, a vocation directors conference. So we'll pray for Father Bloom and for his work and for an increase of vocations to the priesthood and consecrated life. We're glad you could join us this evening, Father Bloom, and for your work. We're grateful. This evening, we're blessed with a rather familiar gospel, one of those gospels, you know, that kind of can stick in our brains a little bit easier than others because of the starkness of it. We have in the beginning of the gospel, Jesus, he asks his disciples the question, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter speaks up, as Peter tended to do, "You're the Christ." Then Jesus moves on to speak about how he would suffer greatly. And this is where the conversation, it changes. And this is where, you know, it sticks in our mind. I think Jesus, Peter's friend, said that he was going to Jerusalem where he was going to suffer and he was going to be killed. And Peter is a good friend of our Lord. And he said something like, "Well, then don't go. Don't do this. If this is what's going to happen," you know, they don't have the exact words in the gospel, but something to that effect. Or he's kind of, you know, like warning Jesus, as if Jesus didn't know. And then we hear those words from our Lord, "Get behind me, Satan," right? Those very familiar words we've all heard, "Get behind me, Satan." You see, why did he say this? Well, it was because Peter didn't understand the cross. He did not understand the depths of the sacrificial love of the Savior of the world. And Peter, in many ways, maybe was thinking about himself. You know, he enjoyed the presence of the Lord with him in the way that he was with him and the various things that they did together. And so Peter, you know, wanting to preserve that, I think a very human inclination, he followed his gut there and said, you know, "You don't have to do this, don't go." And Jesus warns him, or he gives those strong, stern words, "Get behind me. You're thinking not as God thinks, you're thinking like humans think." So very, very challenging words there. So the way of the world would demand that Jesus would limit his sacrifice, right? The world places a high priority on self-preservation, for example. Take care of yourself first. Now, that's what Peter was thinking. "Lord, put yourself first here. And so you don't do this," you know. From the earliest days of our childhood, We can have this attitude that our needs are more important than anybody else's needs. And this is perfectly acceptable for a little child. We understand that, especially for an infant or a toddler. You know, I've seen my nieces and my nephews, and I see, you know, when they're young, they're needy and they need things. And my brothers and sisters, God bless them, are always trying to accommodate. And you know, because the kids, they can't fend for themselves. They can't feed themselves. You know, they're dependent. So little one can't exist without the help and needs to call out, right? Baby crying out for food in the middle of the night, little thing, you know, needing mom and dad. So needs their protection, needs them to watch over them, to care for them. We understand that, the needs of a child. But that, you know, the child is not meaning to be self-absorbed, but that's just the nature of what it means to be a child, an infant. But the result, though, sometimes is that sometimes this self-centeredness, we never really graduate from that. And sometimes we can fall into those trappings even as an adult. And what happens is sometimes we don't have any time for others or even God because we're still so preoccupied with ourselves. Sometimes it takes the form of narcissism, which can be a very painful thing to have to deal with sometimes. Because why? You're so self-absorbed that you can't even see the needs of others around you, unless it's just painfully obvious. And so, it's the way of the world sometimes, and that's the way that Jesus was rejected, right? They didn't have time for him. They couldn't see past their own needs. The scribes and the Pharisees, for example, Jesus was encroaching upon their popularity. They're always challenging Jesus. Why? Because he was a threat to their authority. They were very self-absorbed. And they didn't want to have to, you know, have to be bothering with this Jesus person, so it would be much easier just to reject him. But we see that even in our current society in many ways. We see people who care only for themselves. We see this really painfully evident, I think, in the priest scandal, with the bishops and the cardinals and our Holy Father embroiled in this. A lot of it comes down to this really being self-absorbed, very narcissistic, very into the self-preservation, not seeing beyond their own needs, their own wants, desires, and as a result, preying on others who are innocent, using their authority in selfish ways. And so we're seeing that these selfish men who care only for themselves and their own perceived happiness has resulted in the pain that we're experiencing as a church. And that's the result of, that's the, where it can lead, that kind of self-absorption, self-gratification. It's all about me and my wants. Who cares how it's going to be, you know, looking elsewhere, how it's going to affect other people. And so we see that. We all suffer from that. We all, in various degrees, these selfish, me first, my needs first attitude. And I have to protect my image and my wants. And I don't want to lose my status. And I care so much about other people think that I'm afraid to, I don't want to, you know, speak out about something. So all these things, that the self-absorption that can paralyze us and really prevent us from growing into the holy person we're called to be. And so this way of selfishness is often our first reaction to being asked to step away from ourselves and into caring for others. So we've all had people who say, you know, when asked to do something, no, I'm not going to get, I can't be bothered with that. I'm so busy, you know, I'm not going to do that. I'm secure in my own little world. I'm very comfortable. And we do. I'm guilty of that. We're all guilty of that. You know, we get very comfortable in our ways. And so to reach beyond that, to see the needs of others, that can be a stretch for some. That can be a stretch. And so, but there's so many good people here. So I love being here at St. Joan of Arc. And I see it over at St. Bernadette's now, being over there. Just so many selfless folks. So many people who just put their own interests to the side and want to seek to console and help the needs of others. Just today, I'll just give you a couple examples. I had a funeral over at St. Bernadette's, and the people that were there from the parish that were setting up, they set up for a reception, like we do here, for the family, so that after Mass they could go over with others and just enjoy a little meal. I thought, how, you know, that's so thoughtful. On a Saturday, you know, take the time, and these people, they don't get paid, they're a bunch of volunteers, but they just set up that little meal, as they do here, a reception for the family who was grieving. It's beautiful. It's such a beautiful ministry. And to think, I know what I'm going to do today. I'm going to help that grieving family and have a little, set up a little meal for them. Beautiful. Today we had a retreat here at St. Joan of Arc. And I just think about the team that came together to help those who were preparing to enter into full communion into the Catholic Church. Again, what a beautiful witness to see those people who came together to share the love of Christ. Again, not paid, giving up their Saturday just to help others know Christ. Beautiful example. And tonight, the Knights of Columbus, what are they doing? They've been here most of the day. Some of them are still over there right now preparing a meal. The prime rib dinner for what? To raise money to support a pro-life venue of some sort, their choice. But they again, just to selflessly put together this dinner to help protect and preserve the most innocent among us, this pro-life dinner. So these are just some of the ways I could go on and on where I see people who set aside their personal comforts and so that others can benefit from their selflessness. Beautiful. A husband, you know, he gets a call from his sick wife after a long day's work, and she says, hey, can you pick up the kids? You know, they're dry cleaning and then do the shopping. And, you know, I'm sure that first initial reaction might be, you know, after a long day's work, well, I want to come home and relax. But, you know, he doesn't get to do what he wants to do necessarily. And he signed up for this. And part of marriage is saying, you know, I'm going to take up my cross, right? Sacrificial love. And I think if you're married, I think it's longer than, what, is it 5 minutes, 6 minutes? You get that. You understand that. Your life is no longer your own. And just in case you forget, then you bring children into the world. They'll remind you. Your life is no longer your own, right? We understand that. But it's normal for us to initially object to being called out of ourselves. We have to fight this temptation. You have to consciously make an effort in your heart and your mind to say, I'm not going to take care, I'm not going to worry so much about number one. I'm not going to, you know, be so self-absorbed. And we have to take steps to deny ourselves and for the sake of the kingdom. And that's what Jesus says in the gospel. He says, whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Again, these are very strong words, but not just words. The Lord called for action. St. Paul in the second reading, you know, faith without works is dead. Our faith is a lived reality. It must be expressed in a lived reality. We can't just wish somebody well, you know, or intend that somebody does well. We have to put our money where our mouth is. We have to, you know, show up and be there in any way that we can. And again, you're all in different places. Some of you are very capable of helping to cook a dinner for tonight's pro-life dinner. Some of you are very capable of helping serve, you know, our bereavement ministry and setting up a little meal for those who are grieving after a funeral. Some of you are not. I understand that. But where are your gifts? That's between you and the Lord. What do you have to offer that's going to call you out of that self-absorbed state into a life of giving, you know? So deny yourself. Take up your cross. It's not a simple invitation. It's a demand that's placed on us by our Lord Jesus himself. To love like who? Like him. To love like our Lord Jesus. And throughout our lives, we have to take steps to be more and more Christ-like by resisting the urge to look out for ourselves. And this is, again, something we wrestle with our whole life, to embrace this sacrificial love. To embrace this sacrificial love. The sacrificial love of Christians. Accepting the cross, you know, is not for ourselves, it's for others. And the second reading from St. James comes in again. All that we do by way of sacrifice, we do for others. St. James says, don't think that you are being such a great guy when you say that a person, you know, who is cold and hungry, have a great day now, keep warm and well fed. No, we have to do something for that person. So people of faith are people who reach out and care for others. It takes a sacrifice. So like Jesus, we're called to deny ourselves, to take up our cross for the sake of others. And that means that our actions impact others by moving them closer to Christ. Right? Christianity is not about me. It's not even about you. Christianity is all about Jesus Christ. Christianity is about following our Lord. And that means we're called to be like him. That means if we want to be like him, we love like he loved, denying ourselves for the sake of others, for the sake of the kingdom of God. So today we pray that we may take courage and be more Christ-like.